Good morning, honorable members in the department. Actually waiting for the chairperson, so we try and ask Fiera that she must phone the chairperson in here. Where are she actually this morning? But we can actually take a cup of coffee or tea and then snacks. And then when we hear from Fiera, then we can proceed with the meeting. Thank you very much.
Okay, so you are recording me, what? Bringing to me. Okay. Now I'm starting to drink. I told it. So, Jenny, Dr. J. So I'm told, like, may never respond. I won't listen to such things. No, I will check them. Often I notice the department seems shy. I run out.
Thank you. morning, honorable members. Order, honorable members.
Good morning.
Our chairperson is unfortunately not with us, and in the absence of chairperson, we'll have to elect a acting chairperson. Can I briefly describe the procedure that will be followed? The procedure that will be followed is as follows. I will call for a nomination and a seconder from the floor. If there is only one nomination, no voting will take place, and a person so nominated will be declared chairperson. If there is more than one nomination, the names of the nominees will be put to a vote, which will be by a show of hands. At the end of the vote, the nominee with the majority of votes will be declared chairperson. Members will only be allowed to vote once. I will now proceed to call for nomination for the position of chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture. Are there any nominations? Honorable Shilobana?
I propose that the whip chairs in the absence of the chairperson, what is still coming. Thank you.
Are you nominating Honorable Moss? I recognize Honorable Shilobana. Is there any seconder for the nomination? Honorable Nisha? Is there any objection to the nomination? Honorable Mosa has been nominated by Honorable Shiva and the Honorable Shilobana, and the nomination was seconded by Honorable Shiva. Are there any further nominations? Ms. Mosa has received a majority of votes and is therefore declared the acting chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture. Honorable Moss, could you kindly take your seat? Thank you.
I will repeat again, good morning, honorable members. Thanks for the trust that you put in me. Good morning, the department. Do and Sam, if you allow the meeting is quickly open. I first to want to like that we must adopt the agenda of today's meeting, and then we can proceed with the meeting. Can I get the proposal? Ma'am Savalala?
Savalala, that we adopt the agenda as this. Thanks.
Can I get a second? Thank you very much, Honourable Member. As we open this meeting and doing the welcoming, this meeting we're dealing today with the quarterly expenditure report of the department. So it is important day today for this Portfolio Committee. After the State of the Nation address, where the President alludes some of programs of art and culture who took in place for 2012. So it is important for us today to hear what is the expenses for the last quarter, but also how will we took the department forward. And also this important day where the Minister of Finance will giving us their budget speech today, where you will allude on the things that the President was talking about, but also the issues was raised about this Department, Arts and Culture. So today is the day that members really must look in closely to our quarterly expenses, or on the issue that we're saying that we want to create jobs and relieve poverty, and also to take this country forward. On this note, I welcome everybody in this meeting. So slightly, I will do the introduction myself. My name is Linda Moss. I'm the whip of this portfolio committee of arts and culture. And then we will, I'm the acting chairperson, not the chairperson. I'm the acting chairperson also only for today because I was elected for today. And then we will go to Honorable Lucila.
I'm Mrs. Tuwera Elda-Lishiba. I'm from the Limpopo Province, member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Mbalele Jikaila from Gauteng Province, member of this committee.
Mwamitra Shilobana, member of this committee from Limpopo.
Lucila Ndapane from Eastern Cape, member of the committee.
I come from the big Northern Cape, member of this committee. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Nicky van der Berg. I'm from Gauteng.
Macharon in Zina, the future of Chabanaland is a Gauteng province.
Lifu Farai from Free State, member of this committee.
Members finish?
DW Mabunda, my identical name, and from Limpopo ANC member, and a member of this committee also. Thank you.
Hilda
Msweli, member of this committee. I'm from KZN.
Thank you very much, members. DJ, you will introduce your department delegation.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Usiso Tava, originally from KwaZulu Natal, staying in Gauteng. DJ for Arts and Culture. I'll start with Mr. Mbada at the corner there, who is the Minister's Special Advisor. Next to Mr. Mbada is Mr. Mahatlan Sam, who is the Minister's Parliamentary Officer. And on my far left, Dr. Joweni, who is the Acting DDG for Culture. And next to him is Ms. Fediswa Patuza, the Chief Operating Officer in the department. Next to her is Mr. Conrad Khrief, the Head of Human Resources in the department. And on my right is Mr. Mike Graney, who is the Acting Chief Financial Officer. Mm-hmm. And next to him is Mr. Razi Kasamba, who is the Parliamentary Officer for the Deputy Minister. And Mr. Ludwig Ralebibi is sitting there at the back chair. He is the Parliamentary Officer for the Director General. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. Honorable Story, the meeting has started, so you are welcome also in the meeting. We're dealing with the apologies. As we know, last week an incident was happening in the portfolio committee where our chairperson was felt. So she was taken to the hospital, and after the hospital to go home. So I think maybe that's why he's not here this morning, still, because it was not so nice when we saw Lucifer on the ground. And then we have apology of the Honourable Minister. He's attending the cabinet meeting. And then we have also apology of the Deputy Minister. Then we have apology of Honourable Shabalala for attending the Finance Committee meeting. As you know, today is the participate of the Minister. And also Honourable Dapana will excuse us at 10 o'clock, but he is going to attend the Chief Host Forum meeting, but he will coming back after that meeting. Is there any other Honourable Secretary? Okay. Then that's the apology. I didn't receive apology of Botswana. I didn't see her here. So that is the apologies. On the back, I saw your face, you want to say something?
Yes. So it's not nothing to do with apologies, but I may I just raise another matter, a procedural matter. I've learned in the newspaper that the minister had information session this week in Parliament, as I believe. But I think it will be very interesting for us, and I'm a newcomer in this committee, to attend this information sessions of the minister, so that we can get used to his thinking and what's on the table. I think it's very important. The media knows about it, but I think being a member of Parliament and member of this committee, I should know of information sessions of the Honourable Minister of this department. If the Secretary can just make a note of that, just send us an email. It's not important, but I think it would be nice just to listen to hear what the Minister is saying, and then afterwards, you know, I'm reading in the newspaper what the Minister said, but I would like to hear himself saying what he thinks. Thank you, Honourable Acting Chairperson. Thank you.
Van der Berg, I think there's nothing that the minister will hide. I think the secretary will convey through the department that message of that request. And also, I think we did receive a written apology, and we must respect that written apology of the ministry. Can we go to the next item on the agenda, and that is the presentation by the Department of Arts and Culture on their third quarterly expenditure report of 2011. Over to you, TG.
Thanks, Chair. Thank you once again to the committee for allowing us an opportunity to present our expenditure report for the third quarter. Chair, if I may, with your permission, just mention something about the media briefing. The media briefing was done not just by the minister, but it was for the entire cluster. After the State of the Nation address, each of the six clusters of cabinet do a media briefing. We participate in the social cluster, which did its media briefing last week. The governance and administration did its media briefing on Monday, I think it was, and that's where there was quite a bit of coverage of the work of the department. Some of that will be done on, some of our work will also be covered on the first, which is when the economic cluster is going to be doing its media briefing. What we can do is we can forward those dates to the committee secretary just for the purposes of the members of the committee. Thanks. Chair, we have prepared a presentation. We had sent a presentation, but we also did copies this morning, which have page numbers just for ease of reference for members as we present this. And I'm going to request our acting CFO, Mr. Rennie, if you could take us
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chair, members. As DG has highlighted, I'm the acting CFO. The appointment of the CFO is imminent. This is probably my last presentation to the Portfolio Committee, so I'm asking not to be too hard on me today. Also, just as a matter of clarity, I've been here a few times, and some of the older members know that I stammer a little bit. But it's not just because I'm nervous. I'm nervous, obviously, but it's not because I'm just only nervous. I do stammer a little bit, but I try my utmost to convey the information in the best way that I can. Obviously, the first slide is about the obvious reason why we are here is to explain our expenditures up until the third quarter for the 2011 financial year. That obviously is up until the 31st of December 2011. We did present in September, end of September, on the second quarter. The first slide that we have there is just to show what the amount is that we've got available in terms of our programs. The main appropriation act was 2.468 billion rand. There were certain rollovers and adjustments, and currently the adjusted appropriation amount is 2.5 billion rand. If you go to economic classification, that is goods and compensation, goods and services, provinces and municipalities, departmental agencies and account current, departmental agencies and account capital, non-profit organizations, households and machinery and equipment. There we've got obviously the same amount of 2.5 billion rand just aggregated in terms of the economic classifications. Just as a high-level overview in terms of the expenditure per program, you could see there that administration has spent 80% of their allocation. The program 2, Performing Arts, has spent 75% of their allocation. The National Language Services has spent 86% of their allocation. Cultural Development has spent 41%. Heritage Promotion has spent 58%. And National Archives and Library has spent 79 cumulatively. That would give you an amount of 69%. Now, normally, if you do a linear projection by the third quarter, you would have to have, if you were absolutely linear, you would be spending about 75%. So it's there's a variance of about 6%. Yeah. But we'll try and explain that. Just the next graph there just shows how our expenditure has been going through the various quarters. The first quarter, 4.63 million rand, going up to 1.0302 billion rand to 1.7 billion rand currently, and hoping to pick up in the next few months to come close to spending all of our 2.5 billion rand. And I think as a matter of just a note that for the past two financial years, that meaning 9-10 and 10-11, we did underspend. 9-10, we did underspend significantly, about over 400 million rand, which represented at the time about 15% under expenditure. We went to SCOA, the Standing Committee on Appropriations, and we got slapped around there, but for obvious reasons. Last year, 2010-11, our under-expenditure was much less. We had an under-expenditure of only 8%, but our aim is obviously to come as close as we can to the allocation that we received. And we'll go through the expenditure per economic classification, and we are relatively comfortable that we will definitely improve on the last two financial years, because our biggest problem has been capital works, but we've got plans of action in place to ensure that the capital expenditure is actually expedited. So we're going to do an explanation of the expenditure trends per economic classification, and there you could see as a high level, as an overview, what the expenditures were, compensation of employees. We're running at 70%, goods and services 57%, municipalities and provinces. That's the conditional grant on the community libraries. We're running at 77%. Departmental agencies and accounts, and that is the subsidies to our public entities, 82%. Departmental agencies and account capital, only 46%. That's how capital works, a program that has been problematic for the last few years. Non-profit organizations is running at 88%, and our households, which means project money, is running at 56%, capital assets 41%, but we'll go through each and every economic classification and try and highlight the issues there. So once again, expenditure at 69%, where it would have been absolutely ideal to have it at 75%. The expenditure trend per economic classification for the compensation of employees, you can see there's a linear projection there. 169 million rand. We are running at the moment for the third quarter at 117 million rand. So we're just a little bit below the graph. On the next slide, we explain the expenditure is at 70% as at the end of December 2011, and the saving is due to the time delay for the post to be filled after being vacated. But also, in addition, the new organigram is being finalized, and the filling of prioritized posts will be expedited. The saving of 10 million rand is consequently, we foresee a possible saving of 10 million rand, and it could be utilized for possible over expenditures on our program one, especially goods and services, because there's been some unbudgeted for expenditures. For example, litigation that we had to pay for, and those types of issues that's making our program one expenditure a little bit higher than what we would have liked it to be. So definitely, probably a saving, but we can utilize that saving for something else. And it's also possible that there's provincial coordinators that have been suspended, and they might have to come back, and then we'll have to pay out of about 5 million rand for them. Goods and services, you can see there we've got an amount of 314 million rand. We're only spending 176 million rand, but so it looks a little bit warped, and it looks like the under expenditure is quite bad, but I'll explain that now. Expenditure is at 56% as at the third quarter. There are three categories in which goods and services are divided, namely our normal goods and services for the department. There we've got an allocation of 164 million rand. Our expenditure has been 121 million rand, so we've got 42 million rand left there. Our property management of 67 million rand, our expenditure is now nearly 27 million rand. And then Mzansi Golden Economy, which we got 81 million rand. I say there's a plus minus 15 million rand. It's you will ask why don't I know the exact figure? We are currently calculating that because it's a new program, and the allocations have been put into programs that they should not have been. So we're extracting that information currently so that we can allocate it to the Mzansi Golden Economy. And if we can explain the property management. The property management relates to reimbursement of payments made by the Department of Public Works for municipal account and property leases on behalf of the department and its public entities. We've got 25 public entities, and we've got an allocation that is claimed from DPW to pay all their municipal accounts, water and lights, leases, and that gets claimed from us monthly, saying the reason for the slower spending in this area is due to the delay in the submission of monthly accounts by DPW. But given past history and the current commitments that we have, we'll get those accounts. They actually expedited in the last few months before the 31st of March, and it gets paid. So we don't really foresee a big variance there. I really can't see that because history has shown we'll be actually running quite close. Mzansi Golden Economy, approval was obtained for the Treasury to transfer 81 million rand from the investing and culture budget to be deployed for the purpose of the Mzansi Golden Economy. The business plan is being finalized, which would dictate the spending areas and processes to ensure the spending by 31st of March, and most of that money would then go to projects. We will shift about 58 million rand of that money from the 81 million rand to household projects, for identified projects which has got a high impact in terms of job creation. So we are confident about the Mzansi Golden Economy money being spent. And then the normal departmental activities, the expenditure of the remainder of the goods and services is pegged at 74% for the third quarter. But projected to the 31st of March 2012, no under over expenditure is anticipated, but expenditure will be carefully managed to avoid any possible over expenditure for the remainder of the financial year. So you say 74%, we are running it close. We are not worried about that. We should be okay. If there's any mishap, we'll probably transfer that money, that saving that we will have under the compensation of employees, which the DG has a mandate to actually do. The next one is the expenditure trends on the provinces and municipalities, and that's the conditional grant on the community libraries. You can see there's an allocation of 569 million rand, and the expenditure for up until 31st of December was 436 million rand. And you can see there's a strange type of a graph, because we pay them on a quarterly basis, sort of in advance. On the explanations, you say 77% of the budget was transferred to the various provinces in the third quarter. Funds transferred to the various provinces are based on their needs. By implication, the spending is not managed by the department directly, although there's a unit that engages with the provinces that manages this. And there's also an amount of 100 million rand that will be transferred to the various provinces. We've already signed off on that before the 31st of March, but the problem, there's been a problem of underspending at the Limpopo province, so 23 million rand has been, at this point, has been withheld. I think the DG had a meeting with all the provinces last week on this issue, and I think you can maybe highlight what emanated from that meeting. Expenditure trends on departmental agencies and accounts. Now you can see the graph is a little bit higher than what the linear projection is. These are our allocations to our public entities. And we say in the next slide the explanation, this expenditure item relates to subsidies paid to departments, public entities. Expenditure is at 82% of the third quarter. So a little bit higher, but then you ask why. The payments to the playhouses are made every trimester based on the third of their total subsidy. So you would have a spike in allocation. And the reason is why, this is the reason why the expenditure is currently at 82%. Payments to institution and library are done monthly based on the 12th of the total subsidy. But we will pay them exactly the subsidy that was allocated in the main appropriation bill. Just to highlight also what I didn't include, that payment to the playhouses as well as the Pan South African Language Board are made trimester based on the third of their subsidy. So that includes the Pan South African Language Board. So normally, always, actually not normally, always in the exact amount as approved in the adjustments appropriation is then paid over to our playhouses. There is never any deviation on that. On the capital, that's our capital works program. You can see that's been the problematic area in the past. We've got an allocation there of 455.613 million then, and as you can see, you can see the first few months, spending was slow there, but it's picked up. It's picked up, and we are actually quite confident at the moment about the capital expenditure. On the explanation, we say that 46% of the budget has been spent as at the end of the third quarter. This expenditure relates to the maintenance, upgrading and refurbishment of the department's public entities as well as for legacy projects. The department, let me highlight this issue because we concede to that. The department has for the past two financial years underspent on this budget, although it improved markedly from an underspending of 351 million rand in 2009-10 to 79 million rand to in 2010-11. We also say approximately 50% of this budget is managed by DPW, which is directly related to infrastructure project of museums and heritage institutions. And delivery by DPW remains problematic, and the department will be appointing an implementing agency, actually done so, such as the Independent Development Agency, Trust actually, IDT, to ensure fast tracking of new projects. It's also appointed the Technical Assistance Unit of the National Treasury in assisting project management of the capital works within the program, within the department. In addition, the department has recently received approval from the National Treasury to transfer 204 million rand directly to its powers, the National Film and Video Foundation, National Library of South Africa, and the South African Heritage Resources Agency within the current financial year. So a big part of our capital works will actually move there. And we also say that the legacy projects will be accelerated through the appointment of the IDT. And consequently, then, the anticipated saving on the capital works should be nominal compared to previous years. There's definitely plans of action. There is, and as you can see on the graph, slow, and it's picking up. It's definitely picking up, where I was, yeah, there was certain times I was actually worried we could overspend, but it doesn't look like it. I think we'll be okay there. the expenditure trends on non-profit organized reputations. Can you just go to the next slide? This expenditure relates to subsidies to Business Arts South Africa, Blind SA, and the Engelenburg Art Collection. Those are non-public entities. They are not defined or listed as three national public entities by the National Treasury in terms of the PFMA, and the reason is that, first of all, BASA and Blind SA have not been established in terms of national legislation. And the Engelenburg House, although it's a declared cultural institution, it's got an allocation of 370,000 rand per annum. And you cannot adhere to the full spectrum of the PFMA if you have such a small allocation. So if you look at the expenditure trend there, they also get the money on a quarterly basis, so it's spiking up. But, you know, they'll get the exact allocation as promulgated in the main appropriation bill. So we say there, as we highlighted, the subsidies relate to ASA, Blind SA, and the Engelenburg Art Collection. At the end of the third quarter, the expenditures 88%, as in the case of Plaus, BASA received a third of the subsidy in April, but no overall under expenditure is going to happen. Households is our project money. We've got 174 million rand, and you can see that we've at this point in time, in terms of the graph, spent 81 million rand. It has picked up, definitely so. And if we can give the explanation, this expenditure item relates to all financial assistance projects the department funds during the financial year, and includes investing in culture project, our IIC. Overall expenditure is 56% of the total budget in the third quarter. Spending on IIC has remained problematic since forensic investigations. The National Treasury had therefore been approached to redirect 81 million rand of the IIC funds for the purpose to kickstart the Mzansi Golden Economy strategy in relation to art bank resources, culture events, public resources, and touring ventures. The business plan has actually been finalized and will dictate the spending. That money will be spent because most of it is for households. As we indicated there, the largest portion of these funds will have been transferred to households. And obviously, we've got goods and services expenditures as well. And that is part of that estimated 15 million rand that we've spent up to date. But there are outstanding IIC investing in culture projects that will be have to be closed out. We've still got adequate funding for that, and outstanding payments with regard to the IIC project is being fast-tracked to ensure the spending by 31st of March 2012, and that's the end. And by 31st of March 2012, that's the end of the IIC project, which is then actually been taken over by the Mzansi Gold Economy Strategy. For the remainder of the household funding, all our households funding has been committed. The processes are underway to ensure that that money will be spent. Memorandums of agreement are being concluded, and we are confident we'll run it close. But you know, there might be some that because of administrative issues, but we'll if we commit the money, we'll get rollovers in the next financial year, and as we had done in the current financial year for certain projects under households as well. So we should be running households also very close. Capital assets, that this budget relates to purchasing of machinery and equipment, including IT. 41% of the budget is spent. The department seek information or establish a procurement plan for purchase of IT equipment. Those accounts are in the pipeline, and it will be paid by the 31st of March. So we'll run. We don't really foresee any over on the expenditure under this item. We've focused hard or seriously on our IT infrastructure this year to ensure that it gets up to standard and to the levels required. And that's about it. This is a summary. There is really no issue at the moment which I am having sleepless nights over. We'll definitely improve. Even if we look at the latest expenditure, and we look every day, we draw the expenditure reports. Things are improving. We'll definitely improve from the previous financial years and spend more of our budget than what we had in the past. Thank you. Thank you,
Chair. Did you say anything you want to add? Honourable members, there's the report. I see also Honourable Mamstori there, then Van der Berg, and then the Silva, and then we go down, and then for the last, and then Snow, you were the last one. Then another end, so I will stop here, and then we. Okay. Honourable Mamstori?
Jefferson, firstly, I wanted to address the gentleman properly. I wanted to know, by the way, what is his name and designation. When you were introducing the gentleman, I think I didn't hear properly what his name is.
Mike, can you introduce again?
Yes, I'm Mike Rennie, and I'm the acting CFO of Mike Rennie, R-E-N-I-E, like for the heartburn tablet. I'm the acting CFO of the department.
Before you proceed further on the story, I just hear by the that our DG is his birthday today. Happy birthday, Gigi. May God bless you in your work, and that many days come for you. Yeah. As you are here this year, I think it's a year you were with us now. It's 9 months. But all the best for you. Thank you very much.
And you've been
after 9 months. Honorable, I'm sorry to say.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Actually, I wanted to address Mr. Rennie properly, because I find it exclusively amazing that a person who's dealing with the budget is so relaxed, the way you are doing your presentation, and it's encouraging. maybe we are not all mathematicians, but I do hear your explanations on the graphs. And you said there are no understanding. But I just wanted to hear again from you whether you are certain that there won't be any understanding by the time we deal with the department again. Because I see what has been appropriated, looking at the graph, we have some money to spend, and that's the reason why I say you are very relaxed. And you see, on this side, we become very worried, you see, because this money has been appropriated because of the report we gave to Parliament. I also want you to explain to me, you were speaking about the environment, maybe to be more explanatory, how you are dealing with this. That would assist me. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. No, I'm sorry. I think we will start here because I saw all our members' hands was up. I will start from it down. Yeah. Siva?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on page three, register economic classification. My question is on the provinces and municipalities rollovers and adjustment. Maybe one will be happy if you mention how much the rollovers per province, because we want to know which province have more rollover and which one have got less rollovers. The second one is on page 9. You said the delays is because of the post that is vacated. Now, I just want to know if those posts now is already filled. And that one, I want the clarity on the provincial coordinators that are suspended. Why they are suspended? Thank you.
Was it clear?
Thank you, Jack. On page, thanks for the presentation again, and quite very, very clear and clearly explained. Thank you very much. On page 2, I just need some more clarity on number 2, arts and culture in society. What do you mean about that? Do you have some activities directly in the society as a department, or you are referring by saying in the society, you are referring to the civil society organizations? The following one would be on page 7. That is the, I think, the third line there, provinces and municipalities. I also need some clarity on municipalities, whether you have also direct, you know, financing with the municipalities jumping the provinces. When you say provinces and municipalities, how are you dealing with the municipalities directly? And the last one would be on the same page, on non-profit organizations. Non-profit organizations, are you referring to departmental agencies or civil society organizations? I don't want to make an example, but I hope you do get me. There are agencies of the department, but there are civil society organizations that are termed as non-profit organizations. Thank you.
Mamba Mamamita. You are the next one.
Thank you, Chair. Ms. Serini, I've got three questions.
and I'm a new member of this committee, so please bear with me if I ask it a bit broader and not specific on the figures. The first one is on slide 7, the conditional grant on community library. As I understand it, that is money that's been set aside for a sort of a job creation as well in libraries and projects, etc., etc. Now, the libraries have to submit a business plan to the municipality, and they submit it to the province again, and then the money is paid into the municipal account. Now, what my question is, once the municipality has that money in its account, what watchdog is there to see that that money is being spent for library purposes? Because it can't be spent on anything else. Thank you. And then my second question, a previous question has referred to the delay for posts to being filled. My question is, how does this impact on service delivery? The vacant posts, how does that impact on service delivery? And then on slide 12, I think, yeah, the Mzansi Golden Economy. What process does an individual, for instance, have to follow to get hold of money for certain projects, etc.? Do they apply with the province, or what is the process that's got to be followed there? I thank you.
Van der Berg. I live, I say Van Rensburg.
It's actually Van Denberg, and the Berg is without the H. So it's an ordinary Berg. Thank you, Acting Chairperson. I also want to say I'm also a newcomer in this this portfolio committee, so also bear with me if I ask questions that is not relevant. But Mr. Rennie, you refer to Ardburn, but I will see you as a walking Baruda Shan. So actually a nice friend. If you are my friend, you know, you can also exchange money and everything. The money is never a problem. Keep it there as CFO of the department. It's actually, with a surname like Rennie, he's such a valuable person. Thank you, Chairperson. I have to enlighten it. I just want to also refer to this filling of positions. There's a bit of a delay. Sometimes you can sort of have extra money at the end of the day, but I've learned in other departments, if such a thing occurs, there's always overtime, people paying overtime. Can you give us an idea, because of the lack of filling of positions, people are getting overtime to do actually the work of the people that are not in their positions? If you can give us a idea there, I think that's very important. And I also want to speak on this smaller things. For instance, spending in the provinces. My colleague refers to the libraries. Do they use the money for the purpose it has been allocated to? For instance, do the department know, for instance, if there's 500 rand for a library in a certain province? So there's the building that's been paid, the personnel working there, but there must be also books that must be they must buy books, new literature and everything. Do you make sure that a specific budget is looked after? But of course it's easy and very difficult for the DG to, it's a big department and with a vast distances in our country, to see that the money is well spent. You can just give us an idea. And then Chairperson, this DPW is like a golden string through this whole thing. And I'm sure it's not in the Department of Arts and Culture that it's a problem. If you look at last night's news, I think this will be a bigger problem in future. And maybe you can give us an idea, is there contingency plans in place to act as quickly as possible? Because to rely on the DPW, I think, I'm very honest with you, I'm not making the story up myself. It's what I've learned, what the department self said, according to the news last night. I've spoken to the libraries, and then this last point, capital assets. Now, we've learned 41% of the budget has been spent at the end of the third quarter. Is that an indication that, for instance, the buildings and everything is up to standard, the IT equipment is up to standard, everyone is happy, that, or did someone make a mistake in spending money on this on the capital assets? So, and there's not a lot of time left to look after that. Okay, and then I'm very glad the President in his State of the Nation speech the other night, he referred to all the cultural sites that has been that are going to look after, and also the announcement of Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma about the Voortrekker Monument that will be part of the Heritage Foundation. I just want to ask, just for a matter of interest, it sprung to my mind, for instance, I'm not sure if there's extra money being allocated, for instance, to the Voortrekker Monument. I also learned in the short time I spent with this department that there is a couple of 1.7 million that is not paid over to the Voortrekker Monument, as I learned. So, if there been budget for this new things, if you can just give me an indication, I will be glad. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, new member of the portfolio committee. We change Honorable Botswana and then Mam Sally after Honorable Botswana.
Thank you.
Sorry, I've already fight to start with.
Thank you, Chairperson. Allow me to start again by apologizing. I've never been caught up in traffic in my whole life like I was today. I didn't know whether I was supposed to fly or that I was like frustrated, and I apologize sincerely. My name is Funi, for those who have missed that because I was not here. Thank you. Then my question. On page 11, I have the first question. Yeah, on page 11. I'm noting that you talk of the past history, given past history as it's written, and current commitment, and that's going to need serious balancing. I agree with you. But is there any remedy in place to balance the given past history? We know of the past history that things were not going well, but we do have current commitments. I agree with you. But you are saying the budgeted amount will be spent by the 31st of March. And I think tax year-wise, that is correct. But annual-wise, you say I've never done economics. But if this must take you the whole year, and it is, you have completed your money by March, what's going to happen from there on? And if I don't understand, please correct my ignorance after I've given you all my questions. And the next question is on page 16. On page 16, I listened to your last bullet. No over or under expenditure. I think somebody talked about it also. It's anticipated under this economy. Yeah. But it is one thing not to anticipate, which is very good. But it's going to be another issue to actualize things. And can you assure us, I'm looking at this, and I don't see exactly how we are going to make this happen, unless if I was not listening correctly, or because I also said it was not my strongest subject, this economic thing. Actually, I ran away from it. And the last one, it's on page 23. I'm looking at it's a red one and a blue one. And I look at the expenditure, where it is below 3,000 whatever. Is it millions?
Million.
Yeah, it's below that. But it's supposed to, when I look at the blue one, the budget, it's supposed to be above 400 million, which means we may not be doing very fine, if I'm reading this correctly. And also, we have promised people, I'm saying we, because Arts and Culture must definitely assist here, the 500,000 jobs. We were banking on all the departments, especially Arts and Culture. What is your part? Can we bank on you to take a bigger chunk of employment? Because definitely Arts and Culture can employ more than others. I think they have a bigger muscle to employ. Can you assist us out? Because when we promised, we're looking at you and trusting that you'll be able to do that. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My question is on page 14, the last bullet. Can you explain it clearly to us? That why did the Limpopo province underspend the money, and how was the amount of 23 million withheld? And it was withheld until when? Thank you.
I think Honorable Kurai, you want to speak also?
Thank you, Chair. My mind is just to welcome the presentation, and my question is really on the department itself. Looking that until date, and we're about to finish the financial year, and the concern of the committee was the issue of the acting positions, and until date we still receive the acting positions. Other vacancies has never been filled. It is my real concern. I'm sure that we will get the clear or the way forward on this issue. I'm not sure whether the acting CFO can just explain, because I didn't hear it clearly, whether since we're dealing with these budget issues, because the president has committed the government that this issue of late payments in number of departments is what it occurs. Whether on our side we still have that issue of late payments in number of your in the department. Thank you.
I also wanted to get my bite. On the issue of where Korai actually stopped, on the issue of the vacancy rate, I think I said when I take part in the budget vote of 2011 debate, I did mention about in my speech about the 26% technical skills vacancy rate, and I don't actually see the slide from the appointed HR. On the issue when it comes to employers. We're supposed to get that slide. And actually telling us how far are we with that vacancy rate of that 26%. Because we are now in February 2012. So it's nearby a year ago where we have the budget vote of 2011. Just for us to get a picture,
are we moving? Because if we're not filling this this vacancy rate, of reducing the vacancy rate, we're not getting the implementation on the issue of the budget. As we saw, there's a lot of money will not be spent and will be rolled over. on the issue of the business plan, as this presentation said on page 12, the business plan will be finalized, which will dedicate the spending areas and process. So this business plan, is it be finalized or not on the issue of the 81 million rand? So that if the business plan is be finalized, then we know exactly the department will spend that 81 million rand. But if they're saying that this business plan is being be finalized, then it's not clear for me. On the issue of the 100 million rand, will be transferred to the provinces. I think this will be spent the end of March 2012. There's only a month left. Will we really do justice to that 100 million? Will it really be spent? As the honorable member, Dr. Van Skalbe, was saying, the money is there in the coffers of some of maybe municipalities or in the provinces. Are those people not using maybe the money to be there to getting the interest and not spending it? Actually, that happened. They're using that money to be laying there and they receiving the interest. And it's not the department who getting that interest. It's they who getting the interest of that money. Or because it did not yet spend it. On the issue of coming back to the technical vacancy again, if the CFO is saying that they're going to put the procurement IT they're going to establish a procurement plan for the purchasing of IT equipment. So are they never a system in place? According to the PFMA, you're supposed to have that system in the departments when it comes to procurement. So my question would be, was there never a procurement? Because that is the mechanism to avoid corruption. Because procurement and supply management is center when it comes to finance. And if we put the system in place, this IT system in place, well, is there people who will operate the system? Because we can put systems in place, but who will operate the system and make sure that things were happening if we still starting with a high vacancy rate? Thank you very much. Over to you, CFO. I think we will allow maybe after the CFO and the DG respond and the other people, maybe the DG will allocate who respond, then we maybe will give her a last bite so that we can give our members the opportunity to finalize this report. Honorable Mavunda, you want to on the first bite or the second bite? I will give you another opportunity.
Jefferson, mine it's if the department, I know they might not have enough time, you know, to sort of highlighting us to go along with those graphs. But would it be good in the slightest moment just for us to be advantaged Because if you look into those graphs, let me just cite an example in page 5. You see the blue one indicates, you know, the budget itself, how it has been money allocated, and the expenditure thereof. If you follow it by your own understanding, you'll find out that it's always, will I be correct to use the it is being underspent, or what is it? Because the red one, it's always below the mark of that blue one. But now you can even go to up to page number 8, and then when you go to goods and services expenditure trends, you will see the expenditure graphs goes more below than, and here you find out also they are just those marks are not on the same level. They are just the red one are below, but it is caving even more below. I know this one might be, you know, for the good sake of the department, because they are hands on dealing with these things themselves. Somebody just reading the graphs can't even understand what is going on. But more apparently, let's look into page 13, you know, about this expenditure trend, provinces and municipalities, conditional grants and community libraries. Now you see the lines have been crossed to each other there. Then for any somebody just to read to that, it is become, I know the explanation is being made on the other pages, but how one does follow through all those. The other one is there, crossing to the higher the level, and so on and so on. And it's just for interest sake in any way. It's not a question per se, but for us that we are dealing mostly on this expenditure, third quarter expenditure, so that we know exactly if the money is there. But from the explanation, the notes itself, it usually indicates no over or under expenditure is anticipated in most of their notes. It's being written just like that. But the graphs themselves, I know it become very difficult and time-consuming for one to explain to us all those graphs, but if I just in the slightest moment, just to see how does it go along those things. Thank you, Chair.
Can you respond?
Thank you, Honourable Members, for the not so easy questions. We will try our best to answer them as best as we can. Comment on, I look very relaxed. I can
see. You get a very good comment by Honourable Mamstor. You are a veteran here in Parliament. You said you was looking very relaxed, so I think you will answer that difficult question.
But I just want to make a comment on relaxed. I can assure you I'm not so relaxed. And, to show that, I've got my pills here with me, which I took one before, and I think I didn't have enough time to take my next one. So hopefully you'll won't mind if I struggle a little bit. So some of the answers, because I haven't got all the answers. I really don't. But I'll try my best. On the vitamins, those are the shifting of funds. So, for instance, we would have an expenditure, as we've highlighted, under the compensation of employees, but I need some money for example, litigation expenses that we've not budgeted for. The DG can approve that vitamin shift from the saving on the compensation to the goods and services for the unbudgeted items. On the rollovers of the provinces of the conditional grants, and that question, I can't answer. You know, I looked at my computer, I looked at all the documents. I know that I did the disaggregation, but at this point in time, I really can't give that information. There were four provinces that the funds were rolled over to. I know that I did that slide, but I just can't find it. I looked at all my documents now on my computer, and I can't find that. Would it be acceptable if we forward you that information within the week? I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And I apologize for that. I looked at the adjustments estimates document that we have. We did also did not do a there is not a disaggregation there. So I apologize for not having that information for you. On the next question, also a little bit caught out here, to be honest. The question was on program 2, on page 2, program 2, Arts and Culture in Society. That's wrong. The name of the program is Performing Arts, and if you look at the other slide, you would see for some reason we didn't change, and it was even included in the second quarterly report, and we apologize for that. That is the program called Performing Arts, which encompasses a number of arts and culture and performing arts initiatives, and going forward we will fix up that specific slide, and apologize for that. It seems like I'm just apologizing all the time. But, I don't know if the DG would probably be, after his meeting, be best to be dealing with the conditional grant DG. Is that okay? So on the issue on the non-profit organizations, definitely not. There's a specific allocation to them, and those are those three institutions that we've highlighted. Those are non-public entities. They've got a specific allocation, and we will give them the exact allocation for the years. As we had highlighted in terms of the BASA, we do give a spike, like in the case of the playhouses. Let me just go back up. Next question was on page 4. Page 11, the MGE money committed. The money has basically been committed. There of the 81 million rand, there's 58 million rand or thereof will be designated to specific household projects or projects. It was not so easy. You know, if you suddenly get this money, 81 million rand, do it. You have to spend now, but you have to do it wisely. You have to think about it. What's the best impact going to be to kickstart Mzansi Golden Economy? So you're not just going to give to anyone. You are going to, and I think the DG was instrumental in allocating specifically the project money. We are confident that money will be committed by the end of that 58 million then will be committed by the end of the financial year. Nearly 10 million rand was spent on COP17, which had a tremendous impact on creating the visibility on arts and culture to the international community. On the question of the Limpopo province, on page 14, I actually also don't actually exactly know why I don't deal with the community libraries, what that issue is going to be. On page 16, we say that the question was no over or under expenditure. Every time we do these kind of things, we learn from our mistakes. That these are the allocations to our public entities. Probably next time, all the funds will be spent exactly 100%. 100% of the funds will be spent in terms of the allocation, because it's listed in the Main Appropriation Act, and we give them exactly the amount that is listed in the appropriation account. So we would next time say all the funds on this economic classification will be spent. On the community libraries, I know the DG will probably deal with that, but on the watchdog to ensure the payment, they're also audited by the Auditor General, and I think there was a performance audit at a certain stage as well on the community library grant. So there is definitely a watchdog, and emanating from that, there would be obviously repercussions if be. On the posts, I'm not going to comment. On the MGE process to follow into individuals, what processes are there for the individuals to access the money from the Mzansi Golden Economy? I think that is going forward. We did receive additional, we did receive allocation, not exactly what we wanted, and it's a little bit far short of what we actually require to fully implement the Mzansi Golden Economy. But in terms of going forward within the new year, there'll be a strategy to exactly determine how these funds are going to be spent and how we're going to reach people out there to actually be able to access money. At this point in time, I don't think I can answer that. On the post on the overtime, that would be obviously my HR colleague. Once again, the spending on the provinces, I did highlight the audits by the Audit General and the performance audit, the comments made by DBW, so glad for that, because that has been the bane of our existence on the capital works. The contingency plan, yes, we are for certain projects employed or contracted IDT, and so some of those projects that just were not moving will definitely move. Probably the IDT has also got their own challenges as well, but I think definitely less so than what DPW would have. And then we've also received approval from the National Treasury to fund our playhouses on capital works, specifically our playhouses on capital works directly. So we don't have to go through the DPW process, and we got specific approval for that. In the current financial year, that's a staggering 204 million rand. And they, and a public entity like a playhouse is allowed to actually roll their money over. It's not like us that actually, you know, to a large extent relinquishes that money if we don't spend it. So they will be able to spend it on their projects. And probably, and in my opinion, that's a personal opinion, is that we will soon have state-of-the-art playhouses, which we will be able to compete with the best in the world. I've got no doubt about that. On the capital asset, capital asset question, there was quite a big initiative to upgrade our IT infrastructure, and a large portion of that money has actually been spent, and it's still committed, and the accounts are still coming through, and it will go through. So in terms of linking that with your question, Jay, is that there was a procurement plan, but we're just lagging behind. Also, you know, that we were waiting for the accounts to actually come in. You know, we used to work on still Windows in 2003, so now we're up to date. We're nearly there. The question on the Voortrekker Museum and the funding allocation, as I understand it, is that the Voortrekker Monument had a three-year agreement. There was a three-year agreement with a memorandum of agreement that we were funding for 3 years. That was concluded the previous financial year. So there was no further memorandum of agreement, but the department and myself and the DDG of Heritage and myself have met in this week to discuss this issue, see what plan of action we can come up with to make a recommendation to the DG. So we are trying to facilitate that problem, because I know not. We've given them some funds, but they want more. But we are having an engagement on that going forward. On page 11, sometimes I'm encrypting those and I can't understand them. On the remedy on the property management, That is an annual allocation, so it doesn't end on the 31st of March. We'll get a new allocation. We've already got a new allocation in terms of the new financial year to service the commitments that we have, because it's not just commitments that end on the 31st of March. It's lease agreements and municipal accounts that go from year to year. So we've got next year allocation in terms of the MTF. We've got the 3-year allocation to actually deal with that. Page 16. Once again, I think that I've already answered that question. It's, we're going to spend exactly 100% of that allocation. It should no over or under expenditures and dissipated. We're going to all funds in this economic classification will be spent. Page 23. Also, once again, those graphs, as I on the capital asset, definitely the underspending is going to increase. The graph will increase in the next month when we service those outstanding accounts. On employment, again, I'm not going to answer that. It's my HR colleague. The underspending of the 23 million rand, I think the DG. We'll do that one. Late our payments, the question on that, we're trying our best. We did have a finding in our Auditor General's report on late payments. I thought it was a little bit unfair. We fought with them, but they were adamant. And I think this is something that we take up actually quite seriously, because we do understand that cash flow is everything. And if you don't pay within the 30 days, these small SMBs would die, and it's a fact. But sometimes it's difficult if the invoice doesn't reconcile with the work that was done, or the. So there are instances that I think it's one of those that you would try 99-95% to pay all your invoices within the 30-day time period, but there are instances where it could be. Delayed, but we do take it seriously, and we did get an audit finding which we were not happy with, and we are trying to address it. We did allude that to all the managers, so I think everyone is quite alert. But we can't just you would accept that we can't just pay. We need to reconcile. We may have to make sure that the service was delivered adequately, or the product was delivered adequately as well. But in that case, we would ask for a new invoice date. So that we don't the vacancy rate, once again John colleague can probably answer that. The business plan has actually been finalized. We will forward that to the treasury this week, so as I said, indicating that about 58 million rand, nearly 59 million rand of the funds that were allocated will be deployed to projects to stimulate the economy and create jobs over a larger spectrum of the arts and culture community. And 100 million rand for the community libraries. The interest, the comment was made that the interest, they are accruing interest on that. And we are not accruing interest. No interest can be accrued by any government department or a provincial department. Any interest would be accrued would go to state revenue account directly, so you can't utilize that money. You just can't access that interest to utilize for your expenditure. I think I've answered the procurement plan on the capital assets. It's part and parcel of the process. The graphs, try my best. Graphs are always a little bit hard. The first one, the first graph on page 5, that is the cumulative expenditure of all the economic classifications. And then the other graphs is per the economic classification. So you would have some spikes there, but cumulatively bringing it as a including all the economic classifications, that would be that graph. So you would have some, like in the conditional grants, which would spike up, And you know, others on the capital works, that would be quite low, but then speeding up now at the moment. But cumulatively, that reflects all our economic classifications, how that is being spent currently. I hope that, yeah. But yeah, that's just that slide there just gives us a total perspective of all those economic classification graphs.
Chair, thank you. Can I will be responding to the questions relating to HR and vacancies. When I asked the COO earlier in the week whether I should come, she said, of course, there are going to be questions on vacancies. Now I understand why she said I should be here. Chair, I think a lot of the questions can be linked, and I'm going to try and give sort of a broad overview of where we currently are with regard to the vacancies. Then there were also specific issues about the suspension of the provincial coordinators where we currently stand, the delay on the filling of positions, acting, where the overtime is being worked. So I'm just going to give a broad overview. If I'm not doing justice to a particular question, then I would appreciate if members can just indicate to me. Okay, where we currently stand is we have developed a macro structure moving into the new financial year, and there have been a couple of dates determined where we would have loved to present to the portfolio committee. I think, well, it has been postponed on a number of occasions. I felt that in 2 weeks' time. I think the latest, according to the latest program, is within 2 weeks from now that we will be presenting. And I think that will really give a very clear picture to the committee where we currently stand. But be that as it may, with regard to the current vacancy rate, now as at the end of January, and I know it's not in the presentation, and I think together with the CFO we will be including that in future, but the current vacancy rate is just below 10%. And the chairperson has been referring to the 26%. That was with the new structure that, and well, it was a new structure then in 2010, as well as in 2011, where the majority of vacancies were unfunded at that stage. And we basically said last year that an unfunded position cannot be utilized, so we do away with the unfunded vacancies. We initially had a vacancy rate of around 5.9%, which has now grown to 9 point something percent. The reason for that is because of the new structure that we're implementing with effect from the 1st of April, we have not automatically, or we will not automatically be filling positions as they become vacant as a result of people leaving the organization either through retirement or resignation or whatever other service exit. There are, however, a couple of critical positions that we have identified for filling. The one is the CFO, and I know we've been talking about, I mean, Mr. Rennie has been acting CFO for very long, and I can actually safely say that we are expediting the filling of particularly the CFO position. The interviews have been conducted, and we will be requesting the minister's approval very, very shortly. We obviously with the selection process. There are also the two DDG positions which will be appearing in the new structure coming from the old structure that we also with the minister currently filling. There are also a couple of other positions, our head of legal services resigning at the end of December. The director in the DG's office is also, she went on retirement at the end of January. So there are a couple of positions that we are expediting. Those ones that we are quite sure of that appear on the old structure and will be appearing in the new structure as well. On that point, maybe I know one of the last questions that the chairperson asked was around is there capacity in the ICT unit to actually implement and maintain these systems? What we've also done, we approached Treasury towards, it was during the third quarter last year, where we requested the shifting of funds from the goods and services budget to employee compensation, because we used to employ a consultant to actually do the job that is normally done by employees. But we had to employ the consultant because we had insufficient employee compensation budget. Treasury then approved that. It was an amount of about 1.925 million, I think. We have now shifted that money to employee compensation. We have created positions within IT, and we're actually going to fill those within the next month or so. So we are building capacity within IT, replacing a consultant, and now...
consultant following?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Chair, with regard to the... I think the delays in the filling of posts, I've tried to explain that, whether the delays had an impact on service delivery. And, when we presented our first and I think our second quarterly performance reports, there have been reports that some of the targets could not be met, deliverables could not be met as a result of a lack of capacity. But I think internally in our department, we have actually decided not to use that. I mean, we can't use that as an excuse anymore. So what we've done is rather to concentrate on the movement and the optimal utilization of our human resources, whereby we either employ people on contract for a particular project, where it is appropriate to outsource particular projects, and also then having project teams actually working together. So I wouldn't say that we had a significant impact, but it had. With regard to a related question on whether a lot of overtime is being worked as a result of the lack of filled positions or the number of vacancies, is we do work overtime in the department, but it's not as a result of a lack of capacity. Normally, because some of our projects and commemorations events run over weekends, public holidays, and employees are expected to be at those, that is normally when we work overtime. We are also at this stage in the CFO's office, we're moving towards the end of the financial year. There are some projects that need to be wrapped up, and for that reason, we have some employees that are working overtime. But it's actually a there's a provision or a provision in the regulations that says you are not allowed to be working paid overtime as a result of an overload of work or a lack of capacity. So you can't be doing your normal day-to-day operations and then say, I have to be paid because for that particular overtime. So it's project specific and not because of the workload. With regard to the acting positions, we still have the acting positions in place, and those are actually the ones where there is a need for a person to be acting specifically for decision-making purposes. We have in previous years, people were acting in positions, but then we actually did an audit and we said it's not necessary to have a clerk acting in a senior clerk position because there are no decision-making implications. However, these for governance purposes will have to remain in place until the new structure is implemented, which the first date phase of implementation is the 1st of April, after which we will be reviewing. As I've also said, I think the key positions in the department is the CFO, the two DDGs, and those positions are currently in a process of where we're running through the selection processes. I'm just running. I think. Oh, then the last point on the provincial coordinators in the Investing in Culture program. These provincial coordinators were dismissed from the department. I'm not quite sure about the year. I think it was 2010, or was it? Yeah, it was there about. They then declared a dispute against the department in the bargaining council. There was an arbitration award, a ruling against the department for the reinstatement of those employees. However, because of the shift of focus of the Investing in Culture program, whereby it was previously run on a provincially based model, where these every provincial coordinator was allocated a particular province and they actually stayed in those provinces, we have now changed the way in which we're running the IIC program, and we have been in contact with these provincial coordinators, and we are currently strongly considering implementing the arbitration ruling, as opposed to maybe the alternative would be a settlement agreement with these individuals. But the majority of them have indicated that they are willing to come to the department. The implication for them will then be that they will have to be will have to relocate to Pretoria, and will not be in the provinces anymore. I think, with the exception of one, maybe the other eight indicated that they would be willing. So this is also something we want to wrap up this financial year. And as the acting CFO indicated in the presentation, there will be an underspending on employee compensation based on the straight line projection that we've indicated in there. However, the reinstatement of those provincial coordinators will have quite a significant impact on our budget, because in terms of labor law, we have to reinstate them retrospectively from the date that they were dismissed, which was more than a year, and that we'll have to pay those salaries to them. Chair, I think if there was a particular issue that I didn't address, I would appreciate if the committee can just draw my attention to that, as far as the HR and related matters are concerned.
If I could just add on a couple of things. Underspending in Limpopo. Chair, let me talk about a couple of things on the library grant. Each year, each province gives us a business plan of the libraries that they were going to that they are going to build or refurbish or equip or. It's on the basis of that that the grant is approved. We do an assessment of the business plan, we engage with the provinces, and so on and so forth, and until we are satisfied that the business plan is a proper reflection of what can be done. However, during the course of the year, we take the business plan together with the provinces and create a cash flow projection on the basis of which we make transfers to the provinces. However, during the course of the year, things happen. Sometimes there's under expenditure. Sometimes there are problematic issues that happened, and then we adjust accordingly. What happened in Limpopo is that Limpopo, the province, has not been spending as much as they had said they were going to spend. Now, the regulations that that govern conditional grants says that in our monitoring of the expenditure on the grants, we can withhold money if we believe that there is a problem in the province that is supposed to spend. And it's on the basis of that we inform Treasury and we inform the province, both the national treasury as well as the provincial treasury, that we are withholding these grants because of these problems. We did that at the beginning of this the fourth quarter, which was in January. We pointed out the problems that we had with Limpopo. They have come back to us, and they have proved to us that they have resolved those problems. So we are in the process of finalizing the paperwork. We will release this money to Limpopo so that they can start spending. Chair, I think our acting CFO did mention that we met with the HODs of all the provinces on the library grant. Part of the reason why we had to meet with them last week is to get a sense from them of the kind of problems that they are running into. The same way that we have got issues with public works, provinces, the provincial departments of arts, culture, sports and recreation are the departments that we transfer the grants to. However, they don't build themselves. They rely on the Department of Public Works in the provinces. So the very same problem that we've got, they have. If public works is a bit slow, or they are overloaded, or whatever the situation may be, then there's no delivery on the ground. In a similar way that we have done, we are working with the provinces to identify other development agencies that can actually implement faster. Some provinces, the Free State and the Bob, are actually beginning to use IDT. I know the Eastern Cape is beginning to use the Kuha Development Agency. And so we are helping them to identify other development agencies so that the money can move. Obviously, it's got to happen within the framework of the grant and within, obviously, the rules. Chair, there was also a question around, maybe let me clarify the role of municipalities. What used to happen previously is that most provinces would transfer money to municipalities for the implementation of the library grant. We had problems with that, mainly because municipalities, capacity-wise, they are the sphere of government with the least capacity. We all don't have sufficient capacity, but municipalities are anywhere in states than the other two spheres of government. Obviously, it varies from municipality to municipality. But we had problems with municipalities not being able to deliver on grants, and working with the provinces, we have had to move away from the delivery through municipalities. There are only two provinces currently that still transfer grants to municipalities. It's Gauteng and the Western Cape. And most of those, it's because their municipalities have capacity. The city of Joburg has greater capacity for delivery and libraries than the province and the other metros. In fact, the city of Joburg just unveiled the new Joburg library 2 weeks ago, I think it was, which is quite a state-of-the-art library. Now, for the rest of the provinces, the provincial departments actually do the delivery themselves, and they no longer transfer to the municipalities. Then there was also a question around the books and equipment. The grant that we give to provinces cover two things. It's hard infrastructure, the actual building, whether it's building a new library or it's the renovation of an existing library, as well as equipping the library with books and computers and whatever else that they might need. That's what the grant covers. All of that has got to be done in terms of the business plan. So when the province submits a business plan, they've got to say which libraries they're going to build, and for each of the built libraries, how much is going to go to equipment, how much is going to go to books, how much is going to go to the infrastructure. And we monitor that happens. What happens is that during the course of the year, things change. If, for instance, there's under expenditure on the infrastructure, provinces can come back to us, as some provinces have done. They've come back to us and say, we would like to amend the business plan because we believe that we don't have enough capacity for infrastructure. Rather, let's buy more books and equip the libraries. We consider that, and if it looks like something that should be done, we do approve them. There are instances where we do not agree with it, because what we are trying to move away from is a situation where we are not able to build infrastructure, just keep on buying books only. The need for libraries is quite substantial out there, and communities have been raising the issue of the need for libraries, and we want to concentrate on building new libraries, obviously equipping them as we build them. Do provinces really use this grant for what it's meant for? Yes. Where we have felt that there are problems, we do work with the provincial departments as well as the provincial treasuries to address those problems. Then there was a question around job creation opportunities.
Chair, the committee would recall that when we presented the Mzansi Golden Economy strategy, we had quantified quite carefully all of the job creation opportunities that we believe we can create. There are three areas in which we create job opportunities mainly. It's within the public service, the department, the libraries, and public facilities, community art centers, and so on and so forth. That's the one area. The second area in which we create jobs is it's in the art sector. Excuse me. Our strategy really relies on two things. One is that the more there is activity in the market for artists, that's when jobs get created. Artists, begin to receive revenue, whether that happens through recording or whether that happens through the selling of art or through festivals and so on and so forth. That's how money is generated in the art sector. But secondly, is that you notice that Mzansi's Golden Economy, the big element of Mzansi's Golden Economy is audience building. Because if you are not able to develop your audiences, the sector is not going to be sustainable. So we are building audiences and encouraging people to actually go to the galleries, to attend festivals, to spend money on the arts, because that's how it's going to generate real jobs. We're beginning to see that actually becoming quite successful in certain areas of the arts. There's a private equity company which launched last year the very first art index, art price index in South Africa, which is showing that South African art is actually quite a lucrative business, both in the country, and more people are beginning to buy art as an investment asset. South African art is extremely lucrative overseas. I was reading, was it yesterday, a piece of South African art which was auctioned in London for 6 million rands. So there's job creation which is beginning to happen in the arts. The more we are able to generate interest in it, it's the more it's going to create jobs. Another area of job creation is obviously our infrastructure projects. During both the building phase as well as the operations phase. Particularly when it comes to heritage, this is the thing. Normally, heritage is a big attraction for outside tourists. But that job creation is not accounted for in heritage, it's accounted for in tourism. If you look at the statistics, apart from from 2010, in which we had the World Cup, the biggest attraction of tourists into the country, it's no longer the beaches and the wildlife parks. It's heritage. It's the Cradle of Humankind. It's Robben Island. It's heritage sites. Now, that's what we really, we are generating. We don't always get credit for it, but that's the impact of what we are doing. Part of the program that the president announced is exactly to do that, to generate, tourism using heritage. Conrad spoke about the issue of the coordinators which were suspended. I don't need to say much about that. There was the issue of Fort Jagger Monument, which I think I should touch on. Currently, the Fort Jagger Monument is not a listed heritage site. We are working with them. In fact, it is going to be listed. I think the declaration is going to happen. Is it the 29th of March? Mm-hmm. The 16th of March. Mm-hmm. The Fort Jagger Monument is going to be declared as a heritage site, a national heritage site. On the 16th of March, which means that we've got to fully fund its operations like we do with all the other declared sites. That work is done by the South African Heritage Resources Agency, SARA, that actually do the declaration. We do the funding of that. Having said that, we are speaking with Treasury to get proper for different reasons. I mean, the reasons vary quite a bit, but we are doing a new funding model for all our heritage sites, which is going to include the Fort Trucker Monument as well. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG CFO. We are not finished. We will get the second bite, but we will break for dinner because it's already on the program. It's 11:30. We will break tea for tea once, for 10 minutes. And then when we come back, then we can liberate on the second bite, and then we're going to wrap up so that we can go to the next point of the agenda. Thank you very much. Break for tea. It's now 3:25 to 12. We'll be back at 1:45.
I won't be told twice, I won't be told twice.